It occurred to me the other day that some of you might not know who I am, so let me formally introduce myself. I'm Alan, and my wife is right there, Morgan. Morgan, why don't you stand up and wave to everybody? She loves that. Every time I do it, she's like, yeah, great, thanks. My wife's in the yellow, is it sweater, cardigan, what is that? Sweater, yellow sweater over there, Morgan. We've been here a month today, so we're still brand spanking new, got that new car smell still going on, so if I haven't had a chance to talk to you yet, I'm not attacking you personally. I've just been busy. So please, I'll be back there this morning. Get a chance to talk to me. We'll goof off and, you know, slap each other's backs and whatever. A little bit of background about me and Morgan. We went to Southeast in Knoxville, the preaching school over there, and we met the Fergusons over there. And as soon as we graduated, we really wanted to get together and work together, but it just didn't work out that way. So we went separate ways about 5 years. And then up until recently, a job here came available, and Doug reached out to me and asked if I'd be interested in doing it. So we're super happy to be here. I'm more motivated than ever to do this kind of job, so I'm really grateful to be here. And I'm looking forward to getting to know you and serve with you in Mount Juliet. Before we begin, let's start with a prayer, and then we'll get into our lesson. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We're so grateful for what you've done for us today. We're thankful for everything you do for us, the cars that we drove here in, the clothes that we get to wear, and the privilege we get to be here today without any kind of fear or persecution, people coming in, taking us away. Father, we know there are people suffering this morning. We know there are people who don't have these kind of privileges that we do. Pray you'd be with them and watch over them, and pray we'd be mindful of them and open our hearts to their needs. This morning, Lord, as we look at your word, I pray that we're objective. I pray we look at ourselves in a right kind of way, and whatever adjustments we need to make to be your disciples, we would do that this morning. Thank you for Jesus and everything he means to us. Praise and thanks in his name. Amen. So I come from a smaller town, and just by a show of hands, I'm curious. How many of you have heard of the town Chatsworth, Georgia? Thank you. Chatsworth, Georgia. Okay, there's a reason you haven't, okay? It's just a small town. Everybody knows everybody. Everyone's related to each other, that kind of situation. So we go there last Monday, for a wedding, and I did the officiating at the wedding. And there's a really cool kind of hole-in-the-wall sort of breakfast spot called the Biscuit Box. I wouldn't want you to know that. You might not know it. But if you're ever in Chatsworth, Georgia, go hit it up. It's pretty nice. But biscuits, they're famous for their biscuits. So I go in there because I'm a good guy. I want to get my mom and my wife some biscuits and be the good husband and son that I know I'm supposed to be. So I walk in there, and you know, like in old Western movies, like when the gunslinger walks into a saloon? You know what happens? Like the doors kick open and everybody stops what they're doing and talking, and they go, you know that feeling? You ever been in one of those places? So I bust open the door, I'm wearing my mask, I got my tight jeans on, and I'm looking at these old men, and every one of them, there's, you know, and you get that feeling, you ain't from around here, is you, boy? Who your mama? You know, that kind of thing, just a weird feeling. So I do my business and get out of there. I think sometimes it's fair to say that a lot of times people have that same feeling, hesitation when it comes to church. You ever had a guest stay over and it's Saturday night and so Sunday you're going to go to worship. So you say, hey, we're going to go to worship in the morning. We would love you to come. And what's their normal reaction? I mean, I would, but I just brought these clothes. Have you ever heard that? I've heard that a million times. So the idea is I don't have the right thing to wear. I want to go with you, but I just don't know anybody there. And not making a statement personally about this church, but church in general, what does that feeling say about the state of our churches? They're going to walk in the doors, and what's going to happen to them? You ain't from around here, is you, boy? That same kind of feeling. Jesus addresses this issue, and it's important to understand he's talking to people very much like you and me. They're religious. They've been doing this thing for a long time. They 100% believe they're doing the right thing, but he's going to talk about the way that judgment, sometimes we kind of get it wrong, a lot actually. So he starts here. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. And this might be one of the most misused verses in the Bible, period, and you'll see what I'm saying here. Judge not, that you not be judged. Let's stop there. That's all you need to know, right? Friends and family will tell you, you can't cast any judgment on me because only God can judge me. Well, there's a whole other context behind this, verse 2. For with the judgment that you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. What Jesus is saying here to us, to faithful Jewish people then, and to us as Christians now, he's saying judging isn't the problem. The problem is the way in which we judge. He says sometimes we have a standard that's so unattainable and it's so unrealistic towards others that before we go ahead and apply that judgment, we need to be careful when, you know, at some point there's going to be a judgment where I have to hold myself accountable or the judge is going to hold me accountable. And we know this. This has been from the dawn of time. Human beings are terrible judges of character when they're assessing themselves. Is that right? If we had a karaoke night tonight, if we said we're going to have a karaoke night in the fellowship hall, you know there'd be somebody saying, I'm an amazing singer. I'm telling you what, put on the hardest song with the highest notes, and I'm just going to nail it. You ever watch American Idol? Yeah, there's always that one person, I'm just amazing, and they're just really sure of it. And they get up there and just fail. Excellently, exquisitely. It's YouTube gold. You know, you watch those again and again for years. But if you ask you about somebody else, well, how do they sing? Not as good as me. I'm an amazing person. That guy's trash. I'm a great worker. That guy, you don't trust that guy. And even with our Christian lives, I do what's right. I'm a good guy. That guy, though, you gotta watch out for him. Jesus told this story in a different way. Excuse me. He said two men went to worship. The Bible says to pray. In Jewish terms, worship. Two men went to the temple to go and pray. One of these guys was a religious, strict to the law, even stricter, a Pharisee. He did everything right. Everyone in the community looked up to him because he was the golden standard of what it meant to be a religious Jew. A Pharisee went up to pray. Other man was a tax collector, worldly, probably had some nice looking clothes that he got from the Roman government, from taking away from Jewish people. People didn't like him. He didn't fit in. People would have seen him come up to the temple and been like, what are you doing here, man? But the Pharisee, come on through, brother. Take the front row, please. And Jesus said, these two men start worshiping and praying to God. And the Pharisee says something to the effect of this, Lord, I thank you that I am not like other men. Imagine us starting out a prayer like that. I got up here this morning and said, let's pray together. God, thank you that I am so awesome. I am just so blessed that everybody loves me. I do the right thing all the time. Thank you. He continues on to say, I am not like other men, extortioners, sinful people. And he points, like this tax collector. Jesus said the tax collector is not in the front. The tax collector is standing far off. The implication is by himself. He's standing far away, and he's doing this number right here. He's beating his heart. Now, just for some background here, Jewish men did not get animated like this. You know in the Bible when it says they tear their clothes? It's because they got so upset that it manifested itself in tearing their clothes. This is the stage before that. He's beating his chest. Only when people were very upset in this culture did they beat their chest. For instance, people beat their chest when Jesus was being crucified. That's how sorry this guy is right now. He's making a fool of himself in public, but here's what he's saying. Lord, forgive me, for I am a sinful man. And the Greek, what he says is, make a special atonement for me. See, here's what would happen. When you went up to the temple, they would have a sacrifice, and the priest would come out and do all the stuff with the blood, and the blood would flow down, and you'd sprinkle the blood, all this kind of stuff. So the tax collector is standing away from the altar because it's God's presence. He doesn't want to be there. He's not worthy. He sees what the sacrifice is being done, and he looks at that sacrifice, and in the Greek he says, that's not good enough for me. He says, Lord, make a special sacrifice for me because that won't be enough to cover the sin I've done. Jesus said, one of these two men walked away justified. If you haven't filled in the blanks yet, it's not the one who stood there and said, I'm awesome. Jesus says, as we consider each other, you look at me and I look at you, we make instant judgments. We make snap decisions. You made the decision about me when I walked up here and said, you might not know me. Ugh. You made a judgment about me. That's okay. That's how we are as human beings. What he says is, when you make those snap judgments, and when you apply those judgments to other people, be careful how you do it. Because one day, we're all going to be in front of a judge that actually matters. If I've been too harsh with you or vice versa, we're going to get to the judgment, and God's going to look at us and say, what did you say about old so-and-so? Said he wasn't good enough? You said he didn't belong here? Wasn't a good enough Christian? Jesus says, be careful, because that same unfair judgment you put on somebody else is going to be applied to you. You won't be able to bear it. When we judge each other, natural human reaction, we need to be fair about it. Be careful. Next here, he says, be fair when we are judging each other. Let's continue reading here in verse 3. Why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye, but you don't notice the log that's in your own? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the log out of your own eye, and then you can see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Pop trivia here. What was Jesus' occupation before he was a rabbi? Anybody know? Carpenter, the family business. His dad was a carpenter, so in Jewish tradition, he became a carpenter. So he worked with wood. Imagine how much sawdust Jesus saw in his lifetime, right? Just sawing away, and just sawdust covering the floor. Anybody have a wood shop in here? Do any woodworking? Nobody? All right, buddy. Buddy's the only one who does any woodworking. So when you cut some wood, how much sawdust is left on the floor? You need a shop vac, right, to get all that stuff up. A ton of sawdust. This is the word that Jesus uses for speck. So imagine two people are working, and you're just going at it, and you're hard. You don't have these fancy new saws. You go, no, it's just you're sawing each individual stroke by yourself, and you're exhausted. And someone has a speck in their eyebrow or on their face. And so imagine someone coming up to them and saying, oh, man, you got a little bit of schmutz. You got a little bit of stuff on your face there. Let me go ahead and get that off. And this guy has a 2x4 jutting through his eyeball. That's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying sometimes we are so full of corruption and we are so full of ourselves that when it comes time to judge somebody else, we pick apart the smallest details possible. The smallest details possible. I'll give you an example that you can surely relate to. Since we're all church members here and we all have our nice fancy church dresses on, let's talk about this. When we come into service, what do we have on? Sundays, our Sunday best. That's what I was taught. I was raised with our Sunday best. The best clothes you have, bring them to service because we're going, as the idea goes, before the Lord. But inevitably, without fail, there's always someone that comes in, as we would say, underdressed. And I know that you're not nodding right now because you've been there. And I know that we've all been in that same situation. But we've all been there. And as the conversation goes, we will kind of whisper amongst ourselves, doesn't she know where she is? Couldn't she have prepared a little bit better to come to service? Back in my day, we always wore things, and I always showed respect for my Lord because I would dress appropriately. I'm not saying those things aren't important, but that's a minor detail compared to the big picture. If you don't believe me, James chapter 2. James gives an excellent example of favoritism or judging incorrectly. He says, let's pretend that two men come into your service. Two guys. One is dressed to the nines, man. He's got his three-piece suit on. He's got his fancy shoes that they're all polished up. He's got a nice gold pocket watch that's, you know, lasted for 400 years. It's just, well, it wouldn't have been that long. But you get the point. He's dressed to the nines, man. He's a slick dude, right? And so he says, you see that guy come in, and you say, please, sir, sit here in the front. Have the place of honor in our assembly. Another guy comes in, normal clothes. Maybe he just got back from work. He's slimy. He probably might not smell the best, whatever. And he says, you say, sit in the back. When people come into our assembly, we want them to see this nice dressed gentleman and not you. What James says is crazy. It's important. What he says in James 2 is if you're showing favoritism, in essence, you are breaking the law of Moses. If you've broken one commandment from the law of Moses, you're responsible for all of it. He says, stop focusing on the little, bitty, insignificant details. Let me give you another example of judging incorrectly and judging unfairly. When King Saul was the king of Israel, if you know your Bible history, he was an awful king, just like really the worst king possible for the job. Everything God would say, do this, he would do the exact opposite, just a bad situation. So Samuel, God's prophet, God says, go and I want you to find another king. I'm going to show you where he is. So he goes to a guy named Jesse. Sound familiar? A guy named Jesse. He has a bunch of sons. They're all good looking. They're all tall. They're all big and buff and strong. And Samuel assumes any one of these guys could be king because they look awesome. They look super tall and super handsome. You can see him with a little crown on his head. They all look great. And each one he goes to, God says, not that one. What about the 6'5 guy who's really beefy and has a booming voice? What about that guy? Not that guy. So it goes down the line to the smallest son, little shepherd boy named David. And Samuel says, no, come on. I mean, all these guys who looked the part, and I'm going to get this guy. And God says something important. He says, stop looking on the outside. Don't worry about what's right here, right now. I judge people. I assess you from the heart. You skip forward hundreds of years later. The son of David, Jesus the Christ, is on the scene. And he's here preaching this news. The kingdom of heaven is here. Repent. It's time. Things are being fulfilled. Let's do this thing for real. And people look at him, and you know what they say? You don't look like David. You're not rich. You're not powerful. You're not kingly. And you know what Jesus says? John 7 and verse 24. If you don't have it marked, you need to mark it. John 7, 24. Jesus says the exact same thing that was said about David. Stop judging by appearances and judge with a righteous judgment. They were so superficial in their judgments, they missed the walking, talking Messiah, Son of God in front of them. I don't want to be too dramatic and say if someone's wearing jeans, then, you know, fall down and worship him. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying if our judgment is off and we're judging based on these superficial, nitpicky things, we're going to miss what God's trying to do right in front of us. We're going to miss this thing that God's trying to get us involved in. He's going to say, the time is now. Let's do this thing for real. And we're going to say, but what is he wearing? You can't do this job in that. Where does he come from? You can't do it like that. He says, when you judge, before you take that little bitty piece of sawdust and say, little bit, work on yourself first. Before we go out there and judge the world, y'all need to get better. We need to work here. We need to start right here, right now, this morning. We need to do that. Lastly, let's look at Matthew chapter 7 and verse 6. Matthew 7 and verse 6. Do not give dogs what is holy. Do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn and attack you. This is a kind of a weird verse, and it almost seems like Matthew wrote this down somewhere and forgot where it went in order and just said, I don't know, Sermon on the Mount, well, that works. But let's follow the logic of the whole sermon in general, the Sermon on the Mount in general. So Jesus says things like, you've heard it, you'll hate your neighbor, you'll despise him, but I say to you what? Love your neighbor, pray for those who persecute you. You've heard it said, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, but I say to you the opposite, right? I want you to turn and do the exact opposite. That's the flow of this sermon. Let's consider what he says here. You've heard it said, judge this way, judge carelessly, just cast judgment on everyone as you walk by. I am better than all of you. But I tell you, when you judge, do it this way. So in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 6, here is what he says. This pearl I'm giving you right now, this beautiful, wise, soul-saving advice, you're going to use it in your life, and you're going to apply it to your everyday interactions. And here's what you're going to expect people to do. Because you're acting well, you expect them also to respond and say, thank you for clarifying this issue for me. Blessed are you, and just, you know, and I want to change my life now. Here's what they're saying. Pigs are pigs. And dogs are dogs. Do you expect them to act any differently? We would say, can a tiger change his stripes? A tiger is a tiger. Back in Jesus' time, dogs and pigs weren't the cute things that we see now. Morgan loves the animal accounts where, like, there's like the pot-bellied pigs. You know what I'm talking about? Little cute pot-bellied pigs. They're just so sweet. Okay, dogs the same way. Dogs are so cute now. 2,000 years ago, that was not the case. In this context, that was not the case. Pigs were unclean animals. You didn't touch them. Dogs were scavengers who would literally eat dead bodies in the street. For instance, I remember the story of Jezebel, the evil queen. Jezebel, she was opposed to what God was doing, and she was trying to kill his prophets. So there was a prophecy that she would fall from a tower and dogs would eat her bones. That's what the Hebrew says, okay? So sure enough, it comes to pass where someone pushes her out of a window, and guess what happens? Stray dogs, feral dogs, come up and eat her. Where when it happens, they run to get help, and they come back, and before they come back, she's gone. There's like bones. That's what dogs were back then. The story of Lazarus, the rich man and Lazarus. You remember that story, rich man and Lazarus? There's a detail about Lazarus that we often overlook. He's sitting at the gate of the rich man, and who comes to keep him company? Dogs. That sounds sweet, right? Oh, dogs licking his sores. Aw. See, that's our thinking. Sweet dogs, they're always there for you. The dogs are getting ready to eat him. Sorry to drop that on you, but that's literally as an appetizer. This guy's about to die. Woo-wee! Lick them sores, boy. Dogs weren't cool back then. So Jesus says, I'm giving you this advice, and when you go out there, you're expecting pigs and dogs to look at this priceless gem and say, ooh, and value that. But pigs don't care what's shiny and what's not. Pigs care about what's food and what's not. Same thing for dogs. So here's what Jesus is saying to us today. As we go out and we have this new kingdom standard of judgment, I'm going to be fair, I'm going to be principled, I'm going to treat people like God wants me to treat them. Do not expect people to reciprocate. When you say, I'm not going to judge you by the color of your skin, what you've got on, what language you speak, where you're come from, I want to judge you the way God sees you. Do not expect them to return the favor. And the reason he is telling them this is because he knows for a fact, if we dive into that mentality too much, I will treat you as well as you treat me, there's going to be chaos. There's going to be anarchy. Remember the story of Judges, the book of Judges? There's a main principle verse in that story that says, everyone did what was right, how? In their own eyes. There is no standard. You want to kill somebody in the street? Go and do it, man. You want to cut up somebody and send their body to different people? Go and do it. Actual lessons from there, by the way. You want to go and drink and just party, have a good time, and do it. There's no standard. Jesus says, in this new kingdom I'm creating, there is going to be a standard. Doesn't have a kingdom full of pigs and dogs, has a kingdom full of children of God. If we're going to be that way, we got to act that way. If we're going to be held to that standard, we shouldn't expect the world to be held to that standard. We need to rise above and elevate to show God's character. Today, if you are a Christian, and you realize that that's your situation right now. You're trying to do the right thing, but you understand that the world's just lost and they're not going to listen to you, all that kind of noise. You need to understand the reason you were put here on this earth is not to meet them at this level. It's for you to keep this standard by the grace that's been given you in Christ Jesus and encourage others to rise to that standard as well. Christian, if you're lowering your standards, you're going the wrong way. You're going the wrong way. And when God comes back in judgment, he's going to say, was I not clear enough? What? We did the whole thing, and I told you what to do and how people were going to respond to it, and you still didn't do it. Don't be that person. When judgment comes, be ready. I've kept this. I've kept your word. I've done what was right. I'm ready for this. If you are not a Christian here today, and you know exactly what I'm talking about, you've gone to church and people have said, oh, what does she think she's doing here? Who let that person in? If you know what I'm talking about and you know it's wrong, it means you have a conscience. And it means that God is working on you. He's saying, does that seem wrong to you? It is. He's saying, join me and help make things better. If you are not a Christian and you see that those injustices are going on, let me ask you something. Consider joining the church and helping us solve that. Because we need you. We need your conscience. We need your justice for other people. God created you for that. The church isn't always pretty. It's not always full of great people. I wish it was, but I know because I'm one of them. Not full of perfect people all the time. But you could join us and help make us better. If you've not submitted your life to Christ this morning, you need to understand it's the only way he's going to wash away all those sins. And when judgment comes, it's not going to be held against us. If you've not done that today, please come forward right now. Listen to the song of invitation.